Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to our worship service. We are at the end of a school year here at Emmanuel, so part of our service for tonight is recognizing our young people and thanking God for another year of education here at Emmanuel. Each year we have a theme for our school year, and this year it's to stay focused on heaven. And as we do that, we recognize that it's our faith that makes us ready for heaven. As we study God's Word tonight, we'll see that, and the students know that. What a wonderful thing it is to understand how God has changed our lives forever by giving us our faith and continuing to help us with it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever were gains to me, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. We press on toward the goal to win the prize. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. God gave His word so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The Scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross to pay for all of your sins, and rose again to assure you of your salvation. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled here in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus, and grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The season of the church year that we're celebrating this week is called Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit. God had foretold that that would happen. We have just two verses from the book of Joel that remind us how God would send the Holy Spirit, so that people would have understanding and boldness to share God's word. Here's what God said through the prophet Joel. After this, I will pour out my Spirit, Holy Spirit, on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the servants, both male and female, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. That is our scripture reading. Our second scripture reading is from Acts chapter 2. These verses tell us about that first day of Pentecost. There were special signs that took place, and the apostles were able to speak in different languages so that they could share God's word with others. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the rushing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw divided tongues that were like fire resting on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, since the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak fluently. Now there were godly Jewish men from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When this sound was heard, a crowd came together and was confused, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were completely baffled, and because each one heard them speaking in their own language, they said to each other, "Look, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them speaking in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and of Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring in our own languages the wonderful works of God." They were all amazed and perplexed. They kept saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked them and said, "They are full of new wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and spoke loudly and clearly to them. "Men of Judea and all you residents of Jerusalem, understand this and listen closely to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. On the contrary, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what God says will happen in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a rising cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And this will happen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." God's word for our encouragement are the gospel verses from John 16, verses 5 through 11. Jesus is talking. "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Dear fellow worshipers, have you ever had what some people might call a life-changing experience? Some of those things can be good. Young people graduate from school, go on to the next level, or maybe they get their first job in their career. Maybe somebody gets married, or they have a baby. Maybe somebody retires, and now they have all kinds of free time. Sometimes life-changing experiences aren't so pleasant. Maybe it's an illness that someone has to deal with for a while and it changes how they live their life. Or maybe a loved one passes away and now life just isn't the same anymore. So a lot of things that can change us and have it be a life-changing experience. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, what a positive thing it is that He has changed our life. He is the one that brings us to faith. He is the one that strengthens our faith. He is the one that assures us not only that we have faith, but that our sins are forgiven and that we have a home in heaven that's waiting for us. Today we're going to spend a few minutes talking about the Holy Spirit and His work and see how He has changed our lives forever. He does that by showing us the truth and telling us about our sins. He does that by assuring us that we're forgiven of our sins. And He also does that by helping us focus on our home in heaven and remember that Judgment Day is coming. After Jesus rose from the dead on Easter, it was 40 days, and then He ascended back into heaven. 10 days later is Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came to the disciples in an unusual way. We heard about the signs from our reading in Acts, where there's the sound of a violent wind, but no wind. There were these tongues of fire that came to rest on the disciples. They weren't burning them, but it was a sign, a special thing. Those two things got people together around the disciples, and suddenly they start hearing them speaking in their own native language. They didn't do any language training. All of a sudden, they're able to speak in a different language, which would enable them to go out and share God's word with others. The Holy Spirit was doing special things for them because they were the ones to continue the Lord's work. So, where did the Holy Spirit start his work with these disciples? He started it at the beginning with the basics, telling them about their sins. God uses the law to do that. So for these disciples, they could easily see their sinfulness in the way that they had not trusted God's promises, in the way that they had run and hidden when Jesus was betrayed and arrested. These men knew very well that they were sinners who deserved nothing from God. But it was good for them to realize that, so that in their own lives of faith, they wouldn't trust themselves. In their own lives of faith, they wouldn't look to them for the power and the strength to do this work that God was giving them to do. They would look to their Savior, Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does through faith. He points people to see their sins and then to see how much they need their Savior, Jesus. And that's exactly what he would assure them of. When the Holy Spirit began his work in you and me, it began with God's law, too. He shows us our sins. He shows us that from the time that we're born, the time that we're conceived, we're sinners and we need a Savior. And through that message of the Bible, you and I also rely on our Savior Jesus. We look to him for the things that we need for our life here. Why is it so good to see what the law says to us? It doesn't feel very good for God to say to us that we're guilty and we have all these sins and we deserve nothing from him. Why is the law a good thing? Because it reminds us of who we are as sinners and just how much we need our Savior, Jesus. The Holy Spirit changes our lives completely when he shows us our sins and then comforts us with our forgiveness. I don't know if it happens to you, but this happens to me when I watch TV sometimes. You see the same commercial over and over and over again. And I'm sure the companies that are putting those ads on TV are thinking that the more I repeat it, the better people will know the message and the better they'll buy our products or for whatever it is. But sometimes I get so annoyed at those commercials that I turn the channel or I don't pay attention to it. Sometimes I even forget what the commercial is about because I'm so annoyed that it's on in such a repetitious way. Does that ever happen when it comes to the Bible and God telling us about our sins? Every sermon I preach, every devotion, every service that we have, we usually begin by talking about our sins. We did that again tonight. It would be easy to think, well, I know all that already. I don't really have to pay attention to that. Sometimes it would even be easy to be annoyed that God is telling us about our sins again. Why do we need it? Because you and I sin every day. Why do we need it? Because sin isn't just about saying, yep, I'm a sinner. It's about a change. It's about repenting. It's changing our minds about sin and changing our hearts about sin so that you and I can live more like our Savior and follow him in faith. You and I need to understand that about our sins so that we see the wonderful comfort of forgiveness that we have by faith. Jesus' disciples were going to be sent out to serve the Lord. They were going to go to a lot of different places now that they had the ability to speak in a different language. But what would happen when the people heard the message? How would the disciples get the people to listen to what they were saying? How would that be accomplished where Jesus wants them to make more disciples? Well, it wasn't up to the disciples to convince people. It was up to them to share the message of God's word so that the Holy Spirit could do his work. And that's what he does. He not only shows people their sins, but he also brings people to faith. And so for these disciples, all they needed to do was share the message and tell them the simple things. Jesus has lived perfectly for you. He's died to pay for all of your sins. He's been raised again to go back to heaven. You're going to have a home in heaven too. That simple message, maybe it even sounds too simple to some, but the Holy Spirit uses that to create faith and to forgive sins and to assure people that they have a home in heaven. In the entryway, when you come through the main doors by the parking lot, we have a board on the wall, welcome new members. And on that board, you'll see people who have had their babies baptized or adults who are baptized. You'll see the confirmations that have taken place recently or the Christian marriages. All wonderful things. New members coming to the church, babies, children, adults. It's just a wonderful blessing. Well, who gets the credit for that? Is it the parent that brought their child to get baptized? Is it the pastor that did all the instructing with the kids and the adults? Is it maybe a Christian friend that brought you to church for the first time and introduced you to the Lord? Well, God uses us, doesn't He? But we didn't do anything. The Holy Spirit did everything. He creates faith. He forgives sins. He assures us that God forgives our sins and He forgets about them. And that's exactly the kind of comfort that the Lord wants us to have. The Holy Spirit is changing our lives forever. And He does that not just with telling us about sin, but assuring us that we are forgiven. There are certain things that I think we expect maybe in our daily life. I expect when I go home, I can turn on my pickup and it's going to start and I can go home. Maybe you expect that you're going to have your loved ones around you all the time and that it's going to be a wonderful experience. We can expect a lot of things, be healthy, all kinds of stuff in our lives. But sometimes what we expect isn't what's going on. Maybe our vehicle doesn't start. Maybe we're not so healthy anymore. Maybe loved ones aren't with us anymore. If I expect it, if I take something for granted, I don't really appreciate it. I'm not really thinking about it as a gift from God. I'm just taking it for granted. Do you ever do that with the forgiveness of sins? Along with confessing our sins in worship or in our personal lives, we also hear the wonderful news that we're forgiven. Oh yeah, we're forgiven again. The pastor said it, I heard it, I read it in the Bible. I'm forgiven of all my sins, just like last time I was here. Almost as if it's not a big deal. Taking it for granted. Well, forgiveness is not something that God wants us to expect. Not something that we just say, yep, I've got this, so I'm good. God wants us to appreciate it. We don't deserve anything from Him, especially His forgiveness. But through the gift of faith, through the gift that God gives us in our Savior Jesus, because He did live a perfect life and die on the cross and rise again, we have our forgiveness and our home in heaven. The Holy Spirit changes our lives with the law and the gospel that shows us our Savior, and with the encouragement, as our children's theme for this year is, to stay focused on heaven, to stay focused on the time when Jesus would return here to this earth. One of Jesus' concerns for His disciples was that they would be faithful to Him. He was leaving them behind, and He knew how confused and foolish they often were. And so Jesus prayed for them. We know that from the Garden of Gethsemane. And then He pointed them to the right things that would strengthen their faith and help them. They would have the power of the Holy Spirit. They would have this day of Pentecost. They would have God's Word and sacrament that they could turn to, so that they would remain strong in their faith. And the Holy Spirit, He would be doing all of that. And the stronger these men were in the things that they believed, the more faithful they would be to God. And that was important during times when they would be persecuted for their faith. God wants us to be faithful. It's easy to say that I'm a Christian and I believe in my Savior Jesus and I know what He's done for me. But you and I are living in a sinful world. The devil hates that we're Christians. He doesn't want us to be believers. He doesn't want to hear about the Holy Spirit or a strong faith or anything like that. He wants us to actually fail and give up what we believe. But the Holy Spirit is there for us again. The more we study God's Word together, the more we pray to the Lord, the more interested we are in spiritual things, the more faithful we will be. And it's not something that you and I do ourselves. I can't just say that I'm strong enough to do this on my own or I'm smart enough to be able to do it. God tells us that it's only with His power, His strength through the Holy Spirit that you and I have these things. The Holy Spirit changes our lives by giving us our faith and assuring us of our home in heaven. I don't know if you've ever heard the term eternal security. Some people believe that once they're saved, they're always saved and they can never lose what God has given to them. Well, as Christians, we know that when we're connected to Jesus, like He talks about the vine and the branches, as long as I'm connected to Christ, I have my home in heaven, I'm secure in my faith. But eternal security is the idea that I can never lose it no matter what I do. And that leads people to believe that they can live however they want and they can never lose their home in heaven. Eternal security isn't really true. The devil wants us to believe it because if we believe it, then all of a sudden I'm not so interested in living like a child of God, and the only thing that happens is that I weaken in my faith. And if I weaken in my faith, I can lose it. The Bible says that we can actually give up everything that we have by faith and be lost forever. I can push the Holy Spirit right out of my heart and life. God wants us to be certain of our salvation, but not with the idea that I can never lose it, but with the knowledge that when you and I are strong in our faith, we can never lose what God has given to us. And that's a great comfort to us and a great blessing. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith. He's the one that strengthens faith. He's the one that continues to live in our hearts and lives to give us the confidence and the assurance that we need. The Holy Spirit changes our lives, this life-changing thing that He's done for us by giving us our faith, changed our lives permanently and forever because of what Jesus has done for us. We thank Him for showing us our sins, but showing us our forgiveness and helping us to stay focused on our home in heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our confession of sins. Tonight we're using the third article of the Apostles' Creed. This is about the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. We will continue with our prayers. Please stand. Holy Spirit of God, we worship and glorify You as the Lord and giver of all spiritual life. By our own thinking and choosing, we would still be lost in our sins, wandering in spiritual darkness toward eternal death. Only by Your gift of faith do we now confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Only by the gift of Your understanding do we know the loving heart of our Father in heaven and His promise of eternal life in Christ. We thank you for fulfilling the prophecies that you gave and the promises that are spoken by Jesus. You came down on the day of Pentecost to guide and comfort the apostles, to lead them into all truth, and to reveal your plan to save us. Extend your church throughout the world by the words we speak and the messengers we send. We praise you for calling us by the gospel and making us your sons and daughters of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By baptism, you clothe us in his righteousness. You gather us into his flock, the Holy Christian Church, where we hear the shepherd's voice proclaiming the forgiveness of all of our sins. Live in us, Holy Spirit, and warm our hearts with the fire of your love. Continue to preserve us in the one true faith by the means that you have chosen, our Savior's gospel in word and sacraments. Enable us to present ourselves with all of our abilities as thank offerings to him who sacrificed himself for us. Sanctify us in body, mind, and spirit to glorify our Father in heaven and to serve our neighbor here on earth. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. We also join in our responsive prayer. Heavenly Father, you have brought us to the end of this school year by your grace. Lead us now to gratefully acknowledge the blessings you have given us in body, mind, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Father, for Christian teachers, parents, and many others who have served to bless us. May their efforts bear fruit in our lives, that we may continue to grow in faith, hope, and love for our Savior Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. As we take a break from school this summer, or as we graduate and go on to high school, keep us safe in your protecting care. Renew us in the desire to grow in the knowledge and wisdom that can only come from you. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all Christian parents who teach their children at home, that their faith and love be an example to their children and to us. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, how blessed we are to live in the world you have created. In the past, you sent your prophets to teach your word and to bear witness to your undying love. During this past school year, you sent your Holy Spirit on our students and teachers. Continue to fill us with your wisdom and blessings. Lead all of us to share with others what we have learned about your great love for us and the people in this world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.